few movies, take a few notes.
It was fun.
All right, 3, 2, 1. Way to start the show. 3, 2, 1. Howdy, y'all goreheads, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. I am sitting here with my stunning wife, Nancy, as always, because she is my number one favorite co-host and your favorite co-host as well. We have another good episode for you today. Something a little fun.
I like how you say I'm gorgeous and I'm sitting here with my little hat on that I wear when I'm not wearing wigs, and I have it pulled up over my ears so I can still hear what's coming through the headphones.
It doesn't matter. You're still gorgeous to me.
Well, okay. That's sweet.
So, but before we get into the Would You Rather, and before we get into the movie that we watched for today, we do have another announcement. We have another patron. Joni has subscribed to the $8 tier. And yeah, I mean, which is totally cool.
It was really cool. It makes me wonder why these lazy asses aren't like upgrading there.
Oh, you're referring to Kark and Crook?
Not at all. No.
But we do want to give a special shout out to Joni for being our newest patron. So, Joni, thank you so much for being our newest patron. And we want to give you a round of applause. That was really kind of pathetic. I was expecting more.
My sister deserves more applause than that.
This soundboard sucks.
It needs to be upgraded.
No, that's not a good one. How about this one? No. God bless it. There we go. Well, that's just a thank you for Joni. Joni, we very much appreciate your patronism. What's the word I'm looking for? Patronism.
Patronizing?
No, patronizing is when you're like stooping down to somebody's level.
That's
patronage.
That's patronizing.
Okay, you're right. I always think of the episode of Cheers. What's the difference between patronizing and patronizing? We
thank you for your patronage.
Yeah, okay. Well, patronizing is when you're talking down to somebody like they're a child. Well, kind of like you're doing to me now. Exactly. But okay, yes. So thank you so much, Joni, for being our newest patron. We very much appreciate it. And we aim to give you more great shows. So okay. Now, the Queen of Would You Rathers, my lovely wife Nancy, has a Would You Rather, and I think this time she took about 31 seconds as opposed to 30 seconds. So hon, hit me with that Would You Rather. Hit us with that Would You Rather.
Thank you, hon. It did not take 31 seconds. I believe it took me about 17 seconds. But I, for some reason, have no end of ways of killing something, okay. Somebody, okay. In my head. At any, it's just perpetual. So it's just kind of like, working on an assembly line and like grabbing something that's the defective one.
I'm going to sleep in the movie room. On the new rug and lock the door.
All right. But I digress. My would you rather.
Okay.
Would you rather be impaled through the butt up to the throat or down from the throat down to the butt or up from the throat down to the butt?
How is that any different?
Well, you're going to feel the pain of one quicker than the other.
Okay. But I mean, it's the same wound. It's just in backwards.
Yeah. Well, we're not saying that it's going through at lightning speed. We're just saying that it's coming out the other end.
So you talking like Vlad the Impaler?
I'm talking about somebody taking like Hitori Hanzo up through.
Well, that's a sword.
And yeah, impaled.
Okay.
Up through the butthole and out through the throat slowly, or down from the throat out to the butthole.
I think you're more... you're not allowed to do these anymore.
Because, why, you're torn.
I think you're more likely...
Literally.
I think, yeah.
Oh, you're torn, all right.
Okay. Is it a... How big is the thing we're impaled with?
I told you, it's a sword. Hitori Hanzo.
Oh, it is a sword.
Yeah.
Okay. man, I don't know.
And I should say this.
Okay.
You do survive.
So it avoids everything.
Yeah, you important. Do survive, but you have to have reconstructive surgery to live a normal life.
Okay, well, we do know somebody that has done that. I mean, it didn't come out their mouth.
And it wasn't a sword.
Well, it wasn't a sword. It was a piece of rebar.
Yeah.
But even still.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so, all right. Okay, so I think if I had to choose, okay, you said you do live.
You do live.
So...
But you have to have reconstructive surgery to live as normal a life as you could after that happens to you.
I think it would be easier to survive. You do survive. Man, I don't fucking know. I guess through the mouth and out the beehole.
That's how you would?
I think so.
Okay.
I really don't know.
Well, you think about like the sword swallowers.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean... we're not even talking like cutting them. It's just putting it down their throat.
Do they use, I mean, I know it's pointed, but do they use like sharp?
I don't know. And I don't want to break the magician's code. That is not for us to know.
I
remember, you know how they use the term smoke and mirrors? Remember how they like proved that on Breaking the Magician's Code when it was on TV?
That one specifically?
Yeah, they said making somebody disappear was all smoke and mirrors.
Oh, yeah.
And they disproved it on the show with Mitch Pileggi.
Yeah.
I'm just asking if you remember it.
Yeah, I remember the show.
You remember that episode?
Not specifically.
It was good.
I mean, I've heard the term smoke and mirrors. That was the name of Tom Savini's little documentary.
Well, that's where it comes from.
Yeah.
The magic trick.
Right.
All right, we'll move on. My answer.
Yeah, that was weird. I think I would go from the mouth down, I guess.
Okay.
As long as I'm surviving, yeah, mouth down. And you?
I would go up through the butt, and I'll tell you why.
Pleasurable?
You wish. Because if you're going to go to the hospital for an injury like that,
yeah,
they're going to give you some stuff that will make you forget about yesterday, let alone the pain that's going on.
Yeah, but regardless of whether it goes...
They're going to reconstruct everything anyway.
Okay, but whether it goes from the top to the bottom or the bottom to the top, you're still going to get the same drugs.
We're talking about a sword that has a pointed end. There's no way it's going to go down. If it goes down to the anus from the throat,
yeah,
you're not going to need any reconstructive surgery for that.
You just said you survived with reconstructive surgery.
But...
That was the whole point of your thing.
So your argument is that you're going to get these drugs anyway.
You brought up the drugs. I'm saying you're going to get the drugs regardless of whether it goes from the bottom to the top or the top to the bottom.
I would rather heal from the bottom up.
Okay. Okay. But everything, the path is the same.
All right. But it's really not a question of would you rather die or would you rather be injured this way? It's would you rather heal this way?
I still think the path would, I mean, the path is the same. The injuries are going to be the same.
This is why we have the would you rather. You're entitled to your wrong opinion. And we have my opinion, so we're all on the same page. Let's move on to the movie review.
The path is the same. And the damage is still going to be the same.
There's going to be differences in the damage because the sword is smaller at the tip than it is at the base.
What does that have to do with any of this?
Because if you're going to go through, in through a larger base at the bottom, right? Or you can go through in through a larger base at the top. That's going to be the worst part, is getting that large, widest part of the sword.
Yep. But the tip is not wide. The tip is pointy.
Right.
So you're saying wide base and it has no merit.
No, I'm just saying it because of the wide base of the sword, if you're going to go up... Through the butt, there's going to be more damage to the butt, but less damage to the throat. If you do the throat to the butt, there's going to be less damage to the butt, but there could be damage to the throat.
Do you know what a sword looks like?
No, this is a Hitori Hanzo.
Yeah, I know what a fucking Hitori Hanzo is.
Yeah, it's sharp. It's not the it's pussy not... ass. No, it's not the ones that they use at you know, magic shows. It's not like okay. Because they don't use a sharp knife when they do it.
The tip of the sword is pointed.
Yes.
And it's not bigger at the top.
Bigger at the base or the top?
The base is the bottom.
Okay. Yeah, no, it gets smaller like any other sword.
What are you talking about? No, the base would be by the handle.
I'm talking about the part of the sword that meets the handle.
That's the base.
Yes.
That's the hilt.
That is the thickest part of the sword.
Right. That doesn't go in first.
Yeah, but you're going to have to put it all the way in.
Okay. I get that. But you're saying the damage starts at the base. It doesn't start at the base. It starts at the tip.
Okay. The damage ends at the tip. It starts. You're going to go through, and yeah, the tip's going to touch everything first. But as the tip goes through you, it's going to get wider and wider and wider. You see where I'm going here?
Yeah.
So factor that into the equation. And make your choice.
I rest my case.
If I got impaled through the butt, I could have that surgically corrected.
But you said either way you get surgically corrected.
Right, right. But even if you have surgery, you're not 100% after that.
Okay.
And at least if the sword came right up to the base of my throat, I didn't lose, like, my voice box or anything like that.
Wish you would in this case.
If you were going down through the throat to the butthole, you're definitely going to slice right through that voice box and you won't be able to talk. So would you rather have the inability to talk, but a perfectly normal when it comes to anatomical buttholes for a man? Or would you rather have your butthole reconstructed and be able to talk?
I don't like talking, which is odd for having a podcast. I value my poos.
I know you do. I know you do.
I give me mouth down.
All right. I say butt up. You have to edit that way down.
I'm not editing anything. Okay. So, yeah. All right. All right. Whatever. The movie that we covered today... Actually, what we did, Nancy and I both put 10 movies. She picked 10, I picked 10. And we put them in a randomizer. And we randomized them up. The first movie that came up was The Devil's Candy. This was one of Nancy's picks.
Yeah, randomizer. Oh, that, yeah, never mind. That was my pick.
Yeah.
I always just assume that you picked this.
No, this was yours.
How come you haven't?
Because I didn't think you liked this movie?
No, I mean... You don't, that's never stopped us from watching a movie before, but you do like it.
I do like this movie.
So I wonder why you haven't suggested it before.
Just because I didn't think you liked it. I don't always pick shitty movies that you don't like.
No, and you knew I liked it, which is fine. But there's some movies that you pick that I hate and you do that.
Right.
And there's some movies that you know that I liked and you do it.
Right. Okay,
in this case, you didn't do either. Didn't suggest it for either reason.
Yeah, because you picked it. I don't know, it's just not a movie I thought.
I'm not talking about for the show. I'm talking about in general. Because we every now and then, when we're sitting here, because we have no life, and we're trying to figure out what kind of movie we're going to watch for the night, you know.
It's just one of those movies. I know you
liked it, and I didn't. So I would have naturally thought, I said you guys are on, I'm looking at you. You liked it.
Right.
But that's never stopped you from saying, you want to try this one again?
I just never occurred to me to pick this one to watch, that's all.
Oh.
Or to review.
And to be fair, you probably didn't because of my feelings towards Ethan Embry's character, but we'll get into that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I didn't think you liked it, so I never suggested
it. I love to hate movies.
As you said in the last one, I know.
Love.
Revenge.
So... You would think that this would be first movie that you suggested instead of watching the movie with that whore.
I do. I like movies that you can review unbiased.
I think I can review this unbiased.
I'd like to hear your opinion in it. So the movie that we covered, yeah, was The Devil's Candy from 2015. Scores a 6.4 on IMDb.
We've come to the place where we joke about the idea of the devil. But that is Satan's lie to distract us from the reality of who he is.
Hey, what's going on?
It's like it flowed through me. I don't remember painting this.
This is Mommy and Daddy's house. They're dead.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
I need to come home now.
We are his pawns. We are his demons on Earth. He uses us to carry out his unspeakable deeds. We satiate his hunger.
Your latest work is wonderfully disturbing.
Oh my God.
I didn't mean to do this.
To sacrifice.
He will slither into your soul. He is no mask in a Halloween store. He's not what you see in the movies. He is an active, violent, personal reality.
Just the gas?
He's right. You are the sweetest candy of them all.
And here is the plot breakdown. Okay, Ray, who is played by that guy with the googly eyes. Not googly, but like jittery eyes.
He's been on several Thomas movies.
Pruitt something.
Yeah. I don't know. He played the guy that saw Lee Harvey Oswald on the grassy knoll in JFK.
Yeah. And he was in Identity.
And he's been on a lot of movies.
Yeah. But he's got like the wily eyes. Yeah. Like shifty. He's got, it is in the IMDb trivia. I don't remember what it was called. Like rheumatoid arthritis or something of the eyes. I don't know what the fuck.
Retinopathy.
But anyway. Huh?
Retinopathy.
I don't remember. But anyway, so he is awakened by these strange voices in his head. And in order to get rid of the voices, he plays his flying V guitar loud. Wait. He just strums it. Wait, droom,
wait, wait, droom. Wait. They're moving into a new house. Did you even start there?
We haven't got to that point yet.
Oh, sorry.
You're watching the movie on TV.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay.
So anyway,
go ahead with your air guitar songs.
He is playing the guitar. He says to get the guitar or to get the voices out of his head, he has to strum this guitar really super loud. And he's got like the volume cranked up to 11 and he's just strumming the guitar. Same chord.
You're talking about strumming. What? You're strumming yourself in real life. Why are you doing that?
I'm not strumming myself. Like, yeah, I'm air strumming. But anyway, so his mom comes up to him. She says, hey, you gotta shut the fuck up. Neighbors are hearing you. You know, don't want to listen to that bullshit at like 2 o'clock in the morning. So he ends up pushing his mom down the stairs. She dies. The dad comes home from wherever he was at. The guy pushes the dad down the stairs, and both of his parents are dead. Jesse, who is played by Ethan Embry, is an artist.
Of course,
so called. He's a metalhead.
Of course, he is.
You got Astrid, who is the down to earth kind of like the more sane mother character. And then you got Zoe, who is the daughter, who is also kind of a metalhead. And they are going to buy Ray's old house. Now they're buying the house.
Sorry.
You get a moving in montage. Ray in the motel because he was booted out of the house once his parents died.
Can we touch on the part where Ethan Embry goes into that huge barn area and he's not even the one that has steady work.
Right. The mom is
I think she's a hairdresser.
A hairdresser or yeah. A bank teller or something.
But he puts he decides that this big insulated garage area is going to be his artist studio,
right?
For his commissions.
Why
would he do that?
Why would he make that decision?
No, I'm just saying, if you're moving to a big farmhouse,
yeah,
and you have this big barn,
yeah,
he's not making any money. No money is coming in.
Right.
She's the one that's working and paying the bills.
Correct.
So in that scenario, would you ever be looking at a house and say, this is going to be my studio? That would piss me right the fuck off.
Is he expected to paint in the house?
Well, if you can do commissions, and we do have a couple of offspring that have made commissions on their artwork.
Well, yeah, Gabby does a lot.
Yeah, but they're not doing that as their source of income. I'm saying.
Well, right. I mean, yeah. I mean, this guy is strictly like an artist.
Yeah, he only works on commission. And wouldn't we all love to be that? Have to work?
Yeah.
But just create?
Well, I mean, we're trying to make money on the podcast.
I'm not trying to like put anybody that does art down, because like I said, we have kids and art is their life. And that's great.
Drawing, and I mean, Gabby's been in shows and won awards and all sorts of stuff.
And Gabby knows that she can use that talent to actually make some money too, because there's a reason why it's called a starving artist.
She's teaching she's teaching kids.
Yeah.
Not disparaged kids, but like homeschooled kids. And
She's definitely found a very noble and, I guess, just noble and very noble profession.
It's respectable
right now, because she's helping people and she gets to do her art.
Yeah.
And
she loves it,
which is good. I'm talking about this loser who knows that they're struggling.
So now is that going to be his nickname going forward? Loser.
All right. We'll call him Loser.
Okay. Not quite as strong as whore, but
you glazed over a little rather significant part about this movie when you were talking about them buying the farm. They knew that there was a murder that took place there.
Double murder.
They have to disclose that,
right?
Like the guy said on the movie. And this asshole loser knows that a horrible crime took place there, and all he is seeing is his art studio in his head.
Okay, but don't tell me that if we moved into this
house... And then he's got his daughter thinking that she's like, that he's like a hero. Like, no.
Right. But don't tell me that if we moved into this house and we found out that there was a double murder, you wouldn't be just as interested in this house as...
That would be a selling factor for us, but not for like...
Right.
Normal people.
I mean, we're in the movie room. I would say, I don't care who died here. That's a movie room. It's got the built-in shelves and all sorts of shit.
It's chances are since 1889 to now, there had to be somebody
passed away
in this house.
The cat acts weird in the movie room.
She does, but I'm still waiting.
I'm telling you,
we've lived here long enough.
That giant dirt mound, there's something buried under there.
Dirt mound
in the basement.
Oh, I was gonna say. It better not be in the house. Why the hell is there a dirt mound in the house?
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, they end up buying Ray's old house. There's a moving in montage.
Can you edit out a lot of that? The art stuff. I know Gabby's going to be...
I don't even think she listens. Yeah. Ray has moved into a motel because he was kicked out of the house. He's playing the guitar again to block out the voices. Cop comes and shows up.
Can we touch base on the wig?
In a moment. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I didn't know that you had that in the notes.
So Zoe's first day at school. Actually, it's right here. It's Zoe's first day at school.
And she's wearing her rocker t-shirt.
Rocker t-shirt. Wearing a Slayer t-shirt.
She's got a color streak in her hair. So she's obviously a badass.
Well, right. I mean, our kids, when it comes to music, CJ's kind of his own.
Nah.
He likes more of the electronic music. Griffin is more my style. Ashlyn...
I think Ashlyn's like me. I don't really have a style. I like music from like every single possible genre.
See, well, okay. So I'm like, metal, hard rock, that kind of stuff. I do like the 80s like rock and
now like, you're kind of liking Chris Stapleton.
Well, yeah, Chris Stapleton. about the only country I'll listen to ever, unless you force me to listen to like Dolly Parton. But
well, wait, who's opening for him?
Little Big Town and George Strait, I think.
George, okay, George Strait. You've heard his stuff. The other band is new, but if anybody out there has any opinions.
I'm pretty sure Josh from HMC listens to country music, maybe. I don't know. I know he loves Rob Zombie.
So he's a rockabilly kind of.
He's kind of, yeah, but he's
does probably, he like Volbeat?
I don't know.
How can you like Rob Zombie and like old time rock and not like Volbeat? Or heavy metal, I guess I should say.
Oh, I don't know. Me or him?
Him.
Oh, I don't know.
If it's Volbeat is the exact mixture of heavy metal and country.
Yeah.
Rockabilly.
Rockabilly. Yeah.
It'd just be weird to not like
counting Volbeat. All the assholes in the room.
Yeah.
I know there's one guy he mentions all the time that he likes. So Josh, hit us up and let us know, you know, your music taste. Anyway, so, okay. It's Zoe's first day at school. Jesse's at home and he starts getting a feeling like
he's being moved.
Something's not right. So he goes to her room and he ends up finding the stain of an upside down cross behind one of her posters. Happens to be a ghost poster. And then he goes into Silhouette. Wow. I spelled Silhouette. S-I-L-O-W-E-T.
You spelled it phonetically.
That is very wrong. He ends up going to the garage, and this is where he creates, as Nancy mentioned. he goes to create. Ray ends up showing up at the house, and he says he needs to play loud and to come home. So he tells Zoe that he has a red flying V.
Wait.
That is just like the tattoo on her arm.
Hon, you never let me talk about the wig.
Okay. Okay, yes, the wig.
You skipped over that.
Because we went off on another whole tangent. All right. So, okay, yes. When they're in the car and he's dropping her off at school, mm-hmm. Take it away with the hair.
Okay, so he's supposed to be a rocker.
Yes.
And what rockers do is they grow their hair out and then they'll get it like cut short and then they'll grow it out again.
Right.
Just from when I did hair, this is people, they would usually grow their hair out really long and then get it cut short and then donate it and then say they're growing it out again.
Okay.
He has what we call in the trade, a broomstick cut.
Okay.
And this is why I said that he looked like Lord Farquaad.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the curl at the end, but.
Lord Farquaad.
That is a broomstick cut.
All right.
His hair always looks wet.
It looks very sweaty. Yeah.
And so I'm wondering why they did that. Because he's a rocker, he's going to have like wet looking hair.
It's either wet or like greasy looking.
Yeah. I don't think that's cool. I mean, just because, you know, I don't think that they should make him look like he has, like he's never washed his hair a day in his life.
Well, I mean,
I
had hair about his, well, maybe a little shorter, but.
If you were to walk around and your hair was like greasy like that.
Yeah.
I would have said, that's not the look for you. And so anyway, he's wearing a wig. And in these movies, they have a pretty big budget. And so it probably is a human hair wig, which can get into the thousands.
Right.
Which is why I don't have any. But
yeah.
His wig, not only does it look perpetually wet, but in one scene he'll have a huge forehead and then they'll bring it down like 2 inches and he'll have a tiny forehead.
He's got a 5 head in one scene and a 1 head.
I'm sorry, even if you don't wear wigs, you're gonna kind of wonder what happened to that forehead, because
yeah.
A forehead doesn't grow and shrink, you know.
Yeah.
and this is another thing, because we watched Ink Master,
right?
Yeah. Oliver has long hair. And he likes to wear it back, usually in a ponytail.
Yeah.
I think
the only time he has it down is like during the finale.
Yeah, when he wants to be a fancy boy. So this guy, loser, has this broomstick Lord Farquaad wig on, mm-hmm. that always looks wet. And to me, in my opinion, it looks like it would be really crispy if you were to touch it.
Yeah.
he puts it back in like this. Remember when you would put like a ponytail in your doll? Well, you wouldn't know. But if you had a doll and they had long hair and you wanted to put the hair in a ponytail, and if the doll wasn't designed to have a ponytail, you're going to see all these. He's not fooling anybody with his makeshift ponytail that looks like shredded wheat sticking out when he finally does make one. Because whatever they did to make the texture that way was...
It's not even a man bun. It's just like a little tiny nub.
And he just kind of like, I think they show him actually doing
I think in one scene he does.
And he knows not to touch around the base of the wig. You don't like the perimeter.
Well, they probably told him.
Right.
Do it too tight and they pull it right off.
Right. But if you're somebody like me, you're going to see that that's a wig. I just think that I think
the best evidence was the fact that, like you said, his hair, his forehead moved up and down.
Right, right. And that is so distracting for somebody. And I'm not even saying it's distracting for somebody like me, because I know there's people that notice it and they know he's wearing a wig and then they just watch the movie, which is fine. My only issue is, why didn't they cast somebody with long hair? The fact that his hair is looking like that, it has me completely distracted and I can't take him seriously.
You get distracted by a fly in the room.
Thanks. We're looking at it right now. The part is off. See how it's longer on one side than it is on the other?
Yeah.
Because the part's off.
Right.
And you noticed it after I said it.
Well, right.
I'm not saying that I have never walked through the grocery store wearing one of my ladies and she might be too far back on my head or too...
Is it girls or ladies? I thought you called them girls.
Well, I usually call them my gals.
Okay.
My gals or my ladies. If I'm walking around the grocery store, there is a good chance, if I don't secure her down...
Yeah, I'm listening.
...that she is going to slip back. And if she slips back, I very well may bring it forward.
A touch.
Right. Just to fix it. That's we're going grocery shopping.
Right.
Who gives a shit?
At Walmart.
I notice this shit. Nobody else is going to notice this shit. This is a million whatever dollar movie being made here. We, as the viewers of the movie, deserve more than that wig falling down to the middle of his forehead.
I think the only reason you would notice is because you're a wig wearer yourself.
Maybe.
All right. Let's move on. So Ray shows up at the house. He says he needs to play the guitar loud and he needs to come home. He tells Zoe that he has a red flying V guitar, just like Ray, her tattoo.
Just to catch everybody up, Ray is the son of the two people that died in the house. Yes,
Ray is that Pruitt guy with the wily eyes.
Did you know, I don't even know if this is significant, Mr. Pruitt, where do you remember that name?
Pruitt? Oh, jeez. Why do you do this to me? Pruitt. I want to say Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but I don't think that's right. It's Hewitt. I don't know.
Mr. Pruitt was the tow truck guy from Adventures in Babysitting.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yep. You're right. Okay. I remember now. Okay. So yeah. And Zoe says, hey, yeah, like the Flying V is my favorite guitar because Kirk Hammett from Metallica plays it.
And she's into rock music because her dad is. And that's so cute.
Well, yeah. So the next day, Loser, I don't even remember his name now.
I remember his name in real life.
Okay.
He has a character's name?
Yeah, Jesse. Jesse is the dad's name. Jesse/Loser.
Jesse Bon Jovi.
Ends up running Ray off. The next day, the guitar is at their house, sitting on the porch with a Marshall amp. Jesse ends up going to Belial Art Gallery to submit his work. Belial is like, you know,
demon. They moved to a podunk town.
I don't know where the art gallery is supposed to be.
If they're anywhere near an art gallery, they're not going to get a deal on a house like that.
Well, you would have to be... he must have drove into the city.
You know how they say on house hunters?
Yeah.
You know, I water plants and I macrame
Something.
And our budget is $1.2 million.
Yeah, right.
That is like this movie, because we know what it's like, what it takes to buy an old house like this. And they're not renting, they're buying, which is a huge commitment.
Gonna have their credit.
But we're not going to believe that a hairdresser and a commission artist are going to be able to buy a house, an historical house, anywhere close to where there would have an art gallery.
Which True.
Is that where I was going with that.
Gotcha. Okay.
And you know how I feel about suspension of disbelief. I am very serious about, like.
Oh, I know. I know.
This is why you laugh at me, but this is why you love me.
Is it, though?
Yeah, I think it is. If we weren't married, we'd be sitting here and we'd be talking about this stuff, and you'd be all like, man, this chick is cool.
You're good in the sack. All right. So Ray is watching some
Dynamite.
Ray is watching some kids play in the park. He ends up smashing one of the kids in the head with a rock. And all the while, Jesse is painting this painting. It was supposed to be a commission for a bank. Had butterflies on it. Looked like shit.
Yeah, it's his art, though.
Well, it is his art.
It's his art.
You know, whatever.
And what are the chances that a big, expensive, like, high-paying bank is going to hire somebody like him to do his, like, alternative, off-the-wall, what-the-hell-is-that kind of artwork? That's not going to happen. Banks aren't, like, privately owned like a McDonald's. They can't, like, choose.
Yeah, they would just get something that's, like,
right.
Fucking, like, mass-produced.
So the fact that he's saying this is a commission for a bank also does not help with the reality beyond the wig for this movie.
So he ends up taking this commission that he was making for the bank, and he ends up painting the boy in the painting that ended up getting his head smashed. And then we get so while Jesse Loser is painting this boy in his big painting,
we should add in that he is the little shit kid from Dutch.
Ethan Embry.
I just noticed that because
and Rusty from Vegas Vacation,
in their attempt to be, you know, correct with their coloring and whatever, they gave him ginger hair, which he has in real life. Well, ginger brown.
And he was also on Can't Hardly Wait.
Yeah And but that's the thing, is that there's foils. It's like a strawberry blonde base, and then there's foils over the top, and men aren't going to have that. It's going to be, if they wanted to do real looking hair, it would be kind of mullet like, but long. And he would have like roots grown out because maybe at one point he bleached it, you know, something like that. But he has got like little orphan Annie after she had her hair straightened looking hair. And it's very distracting. They could have, you know what? They could have used a Raquel Welch simmer. Would have been better than that.
All right. No more hair talk. You will fucking go on forever.
I'm very intellectual.
You're very into your gals. So, okay. While Jesse is painting this boy in the painting, there's like a smash montage, like a quick cut, jump cut, while Ray is actually cutting up the boy in the motel tub.
So like Jesse is clairvoyant in his painting of what's actually happening to somebody.
Kind of, sort of. I think it's the spirit of the house, quote unquote. This
is the part where his wig is down.
I thought that happened earlier.
No, it happens a few times.
Okay.
Because one of the last scenes is where I said, now it's like really far back on his head.
So Zoe ends up getting left at school because Jesse had a meeting with the art gallery owner or whoever. What would you call him? The art dealer or what? Something. I don't know. So because she
if
was
there's a name, I don't know him.
Because she was left at school, Jesse let her keep the Flying V guitar that Ray had left her. Astrid.
What? That's like a multi-thousand dollar.
It's probably a $3,000 or $4,000 guitar.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the amp on top of that, probably $5,000 total.
So if some psycho wants to give you a free guitar and you're just going to be all like, okay, I'll take it.
Well, I mean, my dad spent what did he say? Like $5,500 on an amp and a guitar.
It's different when you like go to
a Gibson SG.
You go to some place on Facebook Marketplace and it's like porch pickup and it's really easy and all that.
Yeah. But
this freaky ass dude like leaves the guitar and amp on their front walkway.
Right.
I would not keep that.
It is a Flying V.
I would. Okay.
I don't know. What
that okay. Is. I'd take it and I'd sell it in town.
Yeah. Take it to a local pawn shop.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. So anyway,
I don't play guitar. If it was one of my treasures, I would have kept it, which I have several.
Astrid wants Jesse to destroy his painting, but he can't. Something inside of him is telling him not to destroy it. Ray, they show Ray burying the boy who was stuffed into a suitcase, and then he shows up in Zoe's bed.
Sorry.
And we're back.
Did you do an exit?
No.
Oh. They're like, what the hell are they back from?
All right. Nancy had to go pee. So anyway, okay.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. So Ray is burying the boy in.
Ben's got a big old zit on his forehead.
Do I?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh. He's gonna go pee.
I can't feel it. Oh, who gives a shit? Like it's not a natural thing. But anyway, so he's burying the boy. Then he ends up showing up in Zoe's bed, and he tells Zoe like, "Hey, I'm not going to hurt you, but you can't scream." So Zoe says, "Okay, you know, I won't scream." And of course, as soon as Ray takes his hand off of her mouth, she starts hooting and hollering and screaming. Mom and Dad run in.
Isn't that the last thing that they tell you to do if you're like in a situation like that?
What do you mean?
Like scream?
Well, I know you're like if you're being assaulted, you're supposed to yell fire and not rape.
Right.
But I don't know.
If a killer wants to like negotiate with you and say, look, if you're quiet, I won't do this.
I think
it would be stupid to not be quiet, would it not?
I think what you're supposed to end up like I have no actual basis on this thought, but I think what you're supposed to do is like try and get personal with the person.
Well, they always do that in movies. And try like level with them like, and
use your name. Like, yeah. You know,
make them comfortable with you so they feel bad if they do anything.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So but honestly, I have no idea. So anyway, Leonard. Oh, yeah. Leonard.
Why does he? Okay. He's all right. You didn't get to this part right yet. Right.
Right.
Okay. Wait,
this part here in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not yet.
All right.
Leonard, who is the gallery owner. Yeah, now I'm lost. Okay, Leonard, who is the gallery owner, comes to meet Jesse at his home to have a meeting about his paintings and say, listen, we can give you all the money that you want if you just keep painting like this, with the spooky pictures of the kids and the screaming and all that kind of shit. So he's supposed to pick up Zoe from school. And what ends up happening is Zoe has already been taken by Ray. And Jesse goes to pick up Zoe at school, finds out that Zoe is not there and that she's actually in the motel with Ray.
Did you mention the first time that he went to pick her up late and she was sitting there waiting for him?
And that's when she got to keep the guitar.
Okay. You did mention that.
Though. Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. So he goes in to cut Zoe. She has her mouth taped. She's wrapped up in duct tape. And somehow she ends up, like, getting the duct tape off.
Well, you know why she got it off?
Well, I know she stuck it to the floor and then kind of, like, unrolled herself.
She ripped, like, one piece, which duct tape is not that strong if you get it right in the right spot.
Yeah.
And he wrapped her like a candy cane. So all she had to do was, like, twist around and around. Obviously, he's supposed to have been doing this for years.
Right. And, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And obviously he hasn't learned yet to not wrap them.
I don't, well, I mean,
we have the tape around it like a barber pole. Like, if you're going to get the tape off, or you're going to get it, like, broken at some point, you're just going to wind it off.
I got to imagine, she's, what, like a 15 or 16-year-old girl? I got to imagine that you'd be able to, like, somehow, like, spread your legs open or...
I hate when they do the duct tape over the mouth.
Yeah.
Because all you got to do is put your tongue there, wiggle it around enough, get it wet, and that's no longer anything that you have to worry about. Unless you're going to get strangled by the duct tape.
Wait. Say that slower and a little bit more sensual.
I'm not doing the lip motions again. I'm just saying there would be a way to... Actually, you could probably, like, push the duct tape above the nose. That might not be comfortable, though. So you'd put it, it would go back down around your neck, and then you'd have to worry about strangulation, but...
Well, I mean, he only had a strip, like, 6 inches wide across her mouth.
If his objective was to get her to not talk or scream,
yeah,
he didn't know how to do it. And this is not somebody that has experience and doing stuff like that, because he wouldn't have done that,
but
and
he
wouldn't have done the candy cane barber pole roll of the duct tape around her body. That's rookie. That's a rookie mistake.
What you should do is actually roll the duct tape up so it makes a rope. Then it would be very difficult to tie.
Yeah, yeah, right, to rip. Right, exactly.
Not that we have any experience doing that.
Our attic is clean. Yeah. And our
but there is a,
basement.
There is a giant mound of dirt in the basement.
Yeah.
Wink.
Watch. They'll dig it up and it'll be like bodies from like 1910. How cool would that be?
I would like to know what the hell is down there. But anyway, so yeah, he's got Zoe duct taped up. She ends up escaping. And let's see. Ray, man. I'm so disjointed.
This movie has several, if you're looking for it to be a movie where it's like forensically where a killer is smart and the cop is smarter, you're not going to find it in this movie.
No. So Zoe ends up escaping. She ends up making it to the hospital or the police station. And then mom and dad come in and they're consoling her and everything. They go back to the house now. And the cops are standing, they're outside standing guard. And as they're standing guard, Ray comes and he drives into the back of one of the cop cars as they're standing in between the cop cars. So he comes and he like smashes one of the cops' legs.
I just don't know why they're standing there in front of their cars.
Bullshitting?
Wouldn't they like be off to the side?
I would think that, they're supposed to be watching guard, but obviously they were bullshitting around instead of actually paying attention to the surroundings.
So either they're going to be off to the side of the cars, or they're going to be in one car to stay warm, depending on what the temperature is.
And how the fuck can you not hear a car, like, barreling at you at 80 miles an hour?
Again.
But anyway,
I haven't mentioned this about the hair yet.
All right, spit it out.
I hate his hair and what they did with it worse than Patches from Sinister. I didn't think I could hate anything more.
Say that a little bit louder because you whispered it. Okay,
the elbow patches from Sinister. I didn't think that I could hate any other element like more.
Right. Now, is that because you wear wigs yourself?
No. It's not because I wear them. It's because I know about them.
Okay.
And I don't think people know that there's like a huge community of women that wear them.
Right.
Whether they need to or not, because they're awesome. But I hate what they're trying to feed us with that wig. It's very disrespectful that they wouldn't even like, because there's a community that knows exactly why that wig is like, you know.
Okay.
Probably went on Amazon and said human hair wig. And that's what they got.
All right. Okay. Now I'm cutting you off. No more wig talk. All right. So Ray ends up killing the cops that are standing guard. He steals one of the gun. He shoots Jesse dead. And then he shoots Mom in the ass. He grabs Zoe again. And he grabs a gas can that Ray had, or that was in the back of his car. Sorry. He goes and he... You got me all discombobulated.
What do you need my help with, darling?
So he kills the cops. He comes in. He shoots Jesse. Shoots him like two or three times. Mom and Zoe, Astrid and Zoe, they go run and hide.
Astrid.
I know. Every time I hear the name Astrid, I always think of The Office. Jan's baby.
I think of Aster from Dexter.
Oh, Cody. Yeah, Cody and Aster.
Yeah.
Yeah. He ends up shooting.
What cool quote does he have? Sure. Probably something Pearl Jam said. Or
it says, find something you love and let it kill you.
Is that a heavy metal quote, hon?
I don't know, actually.
You should goggle it. That would not surprise me.
Now?
They are going so far with trying to make us believe that he is a metalhead.
All right. Here, hang on.
Did you notice one thing?
Find something you love and let it kill you. A quote by Charles Bukowski.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
I don't know what that means.
I'm thinking that it means that he's philosophical.
Whatever. Give it your all. Follow your passion. Do not be deterred is what it's supposed to mean. Okay.
Have you noticed the elephant in the room? What makes him not a metalhead?
Don't say his hair again.
Mm-mm.
No, what?
You don't want to guess?
I at this point, I don't know.
If he was a metalhead, he'd have full sleeves. He has tattoos? Not one exposed tattoo. How the hell are we supposed to believe it? They could have put fake tattoos like they did on Sons of Anarchy.
I'm a metalhead. I don't have full sleeves.
Yeah, but you have some. And he's walking around like, you know, he's doing a Kraft cheese commercial.
Okay. Crap cheese. Yeah,
that's the first thing that came to my head. He has no tats, okay?
Well, he's got that big chest tattoo, but like you said, it's not exposed.
Yeah, so anyway. It's real easy to stick a fake chest tattoo on an actor. I don't know what they're paying their makeup people, but I would have paid for more fake tattoos. You can do like a fake full sleeve.
So he shoots Jesse dead. He comes in, he shoots the mom in the ass. He grabs Zoe. He goes back out to the car. He grabs a gas can. He comes back in. He holds the gun to Astrid's head, the mom, and he pulls the trigger, and there's no bullet in there. He starts dumping gas all over the house, and he ends up lighting it. He takes Zoe upstairs into a blaze, and turns out that Jesse's not dead. So he climbs up the stairs. He actually grabs a ladder from the garage, his art studio. So he grabs this ladder. He climbs up onto the roof, busts out Zoe's window so he can gain access to her room. And then he ends up smashing Ray in the head.
Which is amazing because he looks like Ichabod Crane. And he doesn't look like he could smash anybody anywhere. He wouldn't be able to fight somebody. It would be... the somebody versus a wet paper bag.
It's like a David and Goliath situation. So he ends up destroying the Flying V guitar on Ray's head and kills him.
See? Never should have taken it.
And then, well, I mean, it ended up being, I can't.
If they hacked it, he wouldn't be able to get it, would he?
What do you mean? Jesse used it to kill him.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, because the bat he just had was ineffective. But anyway, so they climb back down. I thought you were
saying that Ray...
Oh, no. Jesse, the dad, killed Ray with it. They end up climbing back down, and So they come down out of the bedroom. It's the house is all lit up on fire and everything. Ray is dead. Zoe is captured, or not captured, but rescued. And Ray ends up going for a walk into the field or the forest or whatever, and he starts digging up the dead bodies that were found or that Ray had buried in the suitcases, and then credits roll. Man, oh boy, did we go all around that one. Okay. So, cut to the chase. What do you give this on the gore score?
Gore score, 0.5.
Yeah, there wasn't really a lot.
No.
Honestly. I mean, what they did show was basically just blood and not like a lot of actual.
They
like,
phoned gore. A lot of that in.
And then overall.
Well, I did mention that I wanted to see this again.
Well, right. And you put it on your list.
And that puts it at about a 5.
A 5
for me.
Yeah. I mean, this is one we'll probably revisit it, like, you know.
Yeah, and the score might go up just because I am going to have a lot to say in the future on the show and off the show to Ben. He's going to have to hear about the whole wig thing. And
I've already heard it all, though.
Well, that doesn't mean I'm not going to repeat it.
So, yeah, okay. In terms of the gore score, like we just said, there's not really a lot of gore, and what it is,
except for what they tried to do with that fucking wig.
Like everything that you see is all kind of like secondhand, or I mean, you see the blood from him cutting up the kid, but you don't actually like see him cutting up the kid.
And I will give this for Sinister; it did push the envelope with some stuff, which this movie did not take any risks at all. This would be a PG-13 if it was on regular TV. That's how us old people talk.
So, and then, yeah.
For all those youngins that don't know.
Regular TV.
Regular TV.
Yeah, everything is streamed now.
Yeah, networks.
But yeah, so I'm only going to give it a 1 on the gore score. I don't think that you really need a lot of gore in a movie like this.
What makes yours a 1 compared to my 0.5?
Well, because, I mean, we do have it on, but, like, you know, he stuck his finger in the bullet hole on the dad, and you do see the blood and stuff like that, but it's not really like...
what the 0.5 was for.
It's not gratuitous, you know?
This movie, like I said, I love to hate it. Just love to hate it. I'll watch it again just so I can sit and bitch about it. And Ben will probably say, no, we don't have, I can't find it online. Sorry.
Yeah. They must have removed it from everything.
We don't have DVDs.
Yeah. We used to have this on DVD. We don't have it anymore. But, and then overall, I mean, she loves to hate it. I love the soundtrack because, I mean, it's got like Pantera and Metallica and like Calvera Conspiracy and shit like that. A little bit of Slayer. But I mean, I think overall I'll put this at like a 6, maybe a 6.5, 6.5. What do you mean, who am I?
You're giving a 6.5 based purely on the soundtrack?
You rate your movies differently than I do. What do you care?
Well, I don't like Metallica because they're jerks.
Yeah.
I like their songs. A few of them. But okay. I don't like them as people. But I do like some heavy metal.
I know.
And
you've got Megadeth on your playlist. I know that.
I just can't see that as a reason to give this movie a better score. You know what I mean?
You do you, me do me.
Okay.
You know? All right. So, yeah, I mean, you know, a 6 is still not like super high, but whatever. I know we'll watch it again eventually.
Oh, this will be one of those movies where it'll be like, I'll suggest it, and Ben's going to be all like, why? So you can complain the whole way through it.
Yeah. But no, for you, it'll be like, what was the name of that movie where the dad is the metalhead and the daughter coming that she did this with the guitar and the blah, blah, blah. Hey,
that's what I did for this, though.
I know. That's exactly what you did.
And an upcoming show will be on the next one that I just did that for.
The World's Most Interesting Man.
No, not that one.
What do you mean?
That's the one I want to watch.
That's the next one we have the notes for.
All right. Okay.
The World's Most Interesting Man.
All right.
Yeah.
Then stay tuned for something better than that.
Was it?
It was better.
Okay. All right. So anyway, yes. Okay. So first of all, thank you again to Kark and to Crook and to Joni for being our patrons.
You need to get Arsenio Hall. Wah, wah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay. We very much very much appreciate your patronage, and we thank you for being a part of our little show. Yeah, I am Ben. She is Nancy. Together, we are Extreme Horror Replay Podcast. You can find us on Instagram at XHR_podcast.
Put us together and make an ass out of ourselves.
We haven't said that in a while. And yeah, we do have obviously we have a Patreon, www.patreon.com/XHR podcast. We have a TeePublic where you can buy some cool swag if you decide to. All of that can be in found in the bio on Instagram.
Wow, you're pretty good.
Please rate and review us on Spotify or iTunes. Pruitt Taylor Vince, that's the guy with the googly eyes, or not googly, but the wily eyes.
If anybody's gonna rate us less than 5, please don't rate us.
We do appreciate,
you are a loser.
We do appreciate each and every listen that you that you find.
No, they're losers.
Folks give us, so thank you for that.
They're just as bad as Wig Boy.
All right. So yes, be safe and be good to one another. I'm not even gonna ask her. We'll talk to you all next week. Thank you so much. We'll see ya. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.